Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Illinois freelance workers, listen up. There's a new state bill making its way to Governor Pritzker's desk that would make it easier for freelancers to not only get paid in full for the projects they work on, but get paid on time. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Imagine waiting weeks or even months for your paycheck to show up in your bank account. Now imagine that your employer never pays you. This is too often the life of a freelance worker. That's why Illinois lawmakers have passed the Freelance Worker Protection Act. It now just needs Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature before it becomes law. Joining us now are two people who would benefit from this legislation. Anna Burgess Yang is a freelance writer, and Mary Mathis is a freelance fact checker and audio producer. Anna, before we dig into that bill, tell us more about what it's like to be a freelance worker and how you get paid.
Yeah, so I am a freelance writer and journalist. I work with a lot of tech companies and banking publications. And so I'm managing a lot of clients, and I am basically a one-person business. You know, I am administrative, I am sales, I am marketing, and part of that work is also sending clients invoices and expecting to be paid for those invoices. I have very clear contracts with my clients that outline the payment terms, but as many freelancers have experienced, and all too many, sometimes I run into problems with the payment.
Yeah.
Clients just don't pay on time. And I've even had experiences where the client hasn't paid at all.
What protections are in place today to make sure that freelancers do get paid on time?
Pretty much nothing. You know, if I were a W-2 employee, I would be paid. You know, I'm participating in producing work for the company, whether they're, you know, I'm a supplement to the team, they're bringing me in for a special project or something like that, you know, they would have to pay me for that work. And I have the contracts in place. Everything says why I should be paid, when. And sometimes I'm just ignored, even no matter how much I follow up.
Mary, do you remember one of the first times that you didn't get paid on time for a job that you worked?
I absolutely remember that. Yeah.
Tell us what was going through your mind at that time.
I was young. I was in New York. I was just trying to make some money on photography at the time. And I was actually employed by someone who wanted photographs of their newborn baby. I ended up working for them for multiple days up in a remote location.
Multiple days?
Multiple days.
Okay.
Yes, I actually got a fun little vacation with them.
Must have been a lot of photos.
Oh, yeah. Lots of photos. I mean, we're talking about 1,000 photographs that I gave them, all edited. And I wasn't paid for that for about 5 months, I would say. After threatening legal action, I came back and eventually just took $500 instead of my actual rate. And that's a huge problem that you see when we're not working under contracts or anything. Now, I would say that my experience is very different. Now I know better and I make contracts and I make sure to have legal overview those contracts and make sure that I'm working with companies that I've heard good things about, companies that I'm sure are going to pay me.
So with every single project you're taking on, you have someone, a legal person, look it over?
Not every single one. I will have either they're sending me a contract and legal has looked over that, or the standard boiler contract that I have, yes, a lawyer has looked over that.
Gotcha. So tell us more, Anna, about the Freelance Worker Protection Act then. What protections does that include?
Yes, I was really excited when I learned that this act was on the verge of passage in Illinois, which is when I kind of first became aware of it through Rep. Will Gazzardi's office, because it's similar to legislation that is already in place in New York City and Los Angeles. So kind of mirrors those in that freelancers are entitled to a contract for work over $500 and that they are entitled to be paid on time.
Okay.
Within 30 days, unless otherwise specified by the contract. And if not, then the freelancer actually has recourse to collect up to double in damages and collect any attorney's fees that they may have had to incur and try to collect that. Because that's another thing that I think freelancers, they may not be able to afford an attorney or aren't sure what route they need to go to collect other than just continuing to threaten the client.
To email and call them and just ask for your money back. You know what? A part of this legislation that stuck out to me is the piece that says it would also prevent freelancers from accepting a lower rate if the client can pay quicker. Has that happened to you before? Have you said, oh, you can pay me less?
I haven't had that exactly, but a similar situation is when the client just changed their mind and didn't want the work. I'd already delivered the work.
Oh, so you had already
It was done. It was done. And they just said, you know, we're going to go in a different route. Will you take less money because we're not going to use this work after all? And that wasn't the signed agreement. And I pushed back and I said, I need to be paid for the work that we agreed to do. It's not my fault that you changed your mind. But eventually I did end up accepting less because I didn't know what else to do.
Any limits to how much a freelancer needs to get paid before the protections kick in?
I believe that they're entitled to a contract over $500.
Okay.
So that's at least when the contract piece kicks in. I'm not fully aware of, like, if there's a minimum to that.
Okay. Well, I'm curious why you became a freelancer, Mary. Was it by choice?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm definitely not a freelancer because I'm young and the market's bad in journalism. No, there are so many perks to freelancing. There is the agency over your work. You get to decide what your rates are. They match inflation. You get to decide your salary and how much you want to work to make that salary. There are just so many good things about it. And I worked at many companies as a staffer, and I just prefer freelance work over that.
And even with all the perks, has not getting paid for a project, or, you know, whether it be late or just not at all, has any of that ever discouraged you from freelancing? Have you ever thought, oh, you know what, let me take the regular salary route, working for an organization?
You know what, absolutely, because when you're thinking about it, it's actually not just the invoice, right? We're talking about negotiating rates. We're talking about showing your work all the time, trying to get hired for a new contract. And then we're talking about adapting to a new work environment. We're talking about working with new teams and trying to be the person who is really adaptable. And then when you send your invoice, you just want to get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of that, you just want to see that money. And it's so hard because...
And what would be a reasonable time frame to get paid?
I'd say 30 days. But I want to explain that a little bit.
Sure.
Because a lot of clients ask that you send one invoice per month. So if I work the first week of May and then I send my invoice 4 weeks later at the end of May, mm-hmm. and then it's net 30, so they're paying me at the end of June, mm-hmm. I have worked for 60 days and I haven't seen any money. If we're talking about a net 60, I've worked for 90 days and I haven't seen any money. And so that's really hard to just accept that there's trust. You know that you're going to get paid next week because you've been paid by your employer last week. I don't always know that. So I think that can be really difficult when you're talking about timeline.
Yeah, I appreciate that breakdown. How do you invoice clients, Anna? I mean, do you request the full payment in one invoice, or are you asking for periodic payments, especially for those bigger projects?
It really varies. I have some that I do invoice monthly, just like Mary does. And I have some that want me to invoice upon delivery. So I'm sending them sometimes multiple invoices per month.
Do you ever ask for money up front, either of you?
I don't. I could, but a lot of my work, they're just smaller ad hoc requests from clients, which I'm completely fine with. I do have to trust that the client is going to pay me.
I think in the journalism industry, they would probably laugh at that. And I also think it's interesting because there's this five-alarm fire going off on your deadline, and they're like, we need you now. We needed you yesterday. And then you have 12 hours to complete this. And then they kind of mosey on over the paycheck to the invoice. And it's kind of interesting to see that dichotomy play out,
yeah.
where it is a five-alarm fire to get that work done.
My
but
goodness.
To pay, it's not.
Why not take your clients to court if they haven't paid you when they're supposed to? Is it just because of the money, the costs, Anna?
Sure. One of the first times I was ever completely not paid, the invoice was $500. I assumed that I would need to pay an attorney, you know, a couple hundred to send a demand letter or go to small claims court. I was stressed out about it. I was a new freelancer, and I just decided to take the hit. I had a client that paid very late, and it was $3,500. Mm-hmm. I would have taken action for that amount of money. But, you know, again, that's time mm-hmm. lost. I'm familiar with other freelancers that's rent. You know, they don't get paid on time. That is their ability to live.
Right.
And so it's not just the taking the client to court or doing something like that. It's all that time lost in between.
Yeah. We asked folks on Twitter what they think of this bill, especially in preparation for this segment. We got a lot of feedback. I'll read you just a few here. Elise says, you know, as someone in the music industry, I love this. Sandra Trevino says they're still waiting on payment from work that they did back in March. We're now in, June tomorrow, right? A Twitter user named Photographer says, to be honest, it shouldn't even be that long. You should be paid right before or right after the work has been completed. At King Thelonious asked if this applies to contractors outside of the state. We did check in with the office of Senator Cristina Pasione Zayas on that one. Her staff says that the law applies to contractor services that are rendered within the state of Illinois. So, I mean, the specific rules of this legislation, it would be published and available for public comment before it's enacted, right? So are there suggestions that you two want to make to it? You first, Mary.
Yeah, I think hearing that it is just inside Illinois is hard. One of the biggest reasons why you would freelance is because you can work with clients all around the world. You can be working with someone in New York and London and Chicago and mm-hmm. San Francisco. So it is really hard to hear that, yes, that pertains to Chicago. And I think New York has the same sort of legislation. But, yeah, working outside of that, I mean, that's really difficult.
Yeah. Any thoughts from you, Anna?
Yeah, my initial reaction was the same as Mary's. I mean, my clients are all over the country. And so, you know, I'd want, you know, based on where I live, that's the law
that applies.
It applies
to you because
you live in Illinois.
It applies
to me because I live in Illinois.
And where your work is coming, like if you're working for somebody in D.C., that doesn't matter.
Yes. I would put it like in my contract and part of a clause that say, just so you're aware, this contract is subject to the Freelance Workers Protection Act in Illinois.
Are there any misconceptions about freelance life that you just want to clear up?
Yeah,
absolutely. You both chuckle.
Yes. People assume that freelance is just code for semi-unemployed. It's not. I'm a full-fledged business. I work a lot of hours for my clients, and it's something that I choose. You know, a lot of people do fall into freelance because they were laid off, and that is an absolutely valid reason to go into freelance because you can start earning money right away.
Yeah.
But I choose this for a lot of the reasons that Mary said. I have a lot of autonomy. I have a lot of freedom, and it's a big portion of the economy, which I think is part of the reason this legislation came to be, is because it's, you know, over $1 trillion in the economy. It's 39% of the workforce in the United States has some kind of freelance, whether it's a side hustle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on the rise. It's part of who people are, you know, finding the joy in freelancing, or they're doing it to supplement their income. And so we deserve protection, just like an employee would deserve protection.
Anything you want to clear up, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. I also think having your name on something is very different than having your company's name on something. So I'm in the media industry, so we're talking about a ton of layoffs. And I feel ahead of the game because I have actually been able to freelance for many years. Now I know how to do this. I know how to run my own business. And the other thing is just having that sort of agency over your work.
Yeah.
You do get paid for the hours that you work, meaning you work really hard the hours that you are working.
Sure do.
There is not enough. There's not a lot of, you know, laid back time of your 8-hour workday. So I don't know. It makes my work better.
Yeah.
I work better.
It sounds great. Well, the legislation, as we mentioned, it still needs the governor's signature. And once that happens, it would go into effect in July 1st, 2024. We'll leave it there. Anna Burgess Yang and Mary Mathis are two local freelancers based here in Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your stories.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by Brenda Ruiz, and it was edited by Ethan Schwab and Dan Tucker. For the latest news that affects you, hit up the Reset podcast. We drop new episodes every weekday morning and afternoon, and a bonus conversation on Saturdays. But that's all for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.